show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Let's say that together, shall we? He is Lord of all. Amen. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. I would invite you to write on your bulletin somewhere or put a star in your Bible, Acts 10. This is one of the most complete summaries of the faith that you'll ever find in literature. And even in the Bible, it's very much to the point. You want to know if you're saved? Read Acts 10. That's the good news in a nutshell. My friends, this is the Word of God for the people of God. And to that we say, thanks be to God. I'm really blown away by verse 34. I have to tell myself, this is a good Jew speaking. Let me read that verse again. Peter said, I am really learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. That's incredible, coming from a good Jew who was taught that the Jewish person was the pinnacle of creation, that God was partial to the Jew over and above everybody else, and that everybody else really is just an exclusion. The Jew, God's people. A good Jew who I think was prejudiced religiously, but it could lead to all kinds of prejudice, until he began to walk with Christ and God began to change his mind and his heart. And he wouldn't see people through prejudiced eyes anymore. Isn't that a lovely sermon in itself? What God did in Peter was amazing. Peter came to see that God was not partial, but accepted everybody who did two things. Here it is. One, worshiped God. Two, did what was right. One, worship God. Believe in God. Trust God. Trust that God sent Jesus Christ. And then follow his teachings. That's righteousness. Righteousness is simply doing what is right. Righteousness is not perfection. Righteousness is not holier than thou. Righteousness is just doing the right thing. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. By God's help, we can become more righteous. This is incredible that Peter would have this thinking process going on. I love it. I love what Christ did in him. Luke, who wrote Acts, went on to say that this is the message of peace that God sent through Christ. By the way, the message of peace begins with a smile. It's so simple to do that even a baby, after a few months, can do it. A smile changes the atmosphere in a room, doesn't it? And I can hear your wonderful laughter as you see this cute little face. I remember coaxing Faith to smile when she was just a few weeks old and hoping to see a little glimmer of that and having to wait a month or two or three. And boy, when she began to smile on her own, it just changed everything. I'm sure the same is true for those of you who have raised children. Smiling doesn't cost us a thing. Smiling invites people in. Smiling creates friendship. And what a different world it would be if we always greeted each other with a smile, right? Thought of others better than ourselves, as the Bible says. Now, I've heard, and I guess it's true, because even doctors have shook their heads yes as I've said it, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Yet sometimes Christians are the most frowniest people. Why is that? I think we need to be reminded about what we have to smile about. The love of God. Salvation through Jesus Christ. That this life is but a flick, a fleck of time compared to eternity. And the best is yet to come. The Bible says the former things will pass. Does that mean that we lose all of our memories from earth? I don't think so. I think it means that the bad things will just slip away. Because good is coming. That's worth smiling about. Indeed, the message of peace was first sent to the Israelites. God chose to begin his work in them, but that was not an ending point. It was meant for all people, and thank God for that, because we wouldn't be here if that love didn't go beyond just one race or one nation. We talk about today Jesus' baptism, and I want to read to you from John chapter 1, the eyewitness account of John, who baptized Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." There's a profound statement. This man was before time began as God and came among us as a man. "I myself did not know him." That's odd, because John and Jesus were cousins. I think what John was saying, "I had no idea that he was Messiah." John continues, "I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him as he was baptizing. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." My friends, our faith can take intellectual scrutiny. These are eyewitness accounts of people who were present to see for themselves. And I love the fact that God whispered to John, "Hey, when you see this happen, when you're doing your baptizing and the Spirit comes down, that's my man. That's my chosen. That's my son. When you see it happen, you'll know." I wish that it was that clear for all of us, don't you? I want that kind of clarity of spirit where I just know that God somehow has tapped my shoulder and said, "This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to see. And when you see it, go for it." And I believe that's possible as we get closer to being like Christ. I think God whispers even more great truths, great promises, even great prophecies. These eyewitness accounts, they're so amazing because they're different people across different sorts of classes in different places of the world, all writing about the same thing. And when those who put the books of the Bible together set them as canon, they could see the amazing work from beginning to end. All these separate voices really becoming one voice. There's no other literature like it on the planet. I believe fully that this is God's word. Every part of it. I want to say another thing to you today. Not only does peace begin with a smile, but growth begins when you study the Bible. Don't just read it. Don't just casually skim across its surface. Every time you open the book, I would hope that you would say this: "Holy Spirit, speak to me through your word." That's a deeper understanding. That's a deeper movement of the Spirit in your life when you say, Holy Spirit, teach me through your word today. And when you're done, Holy Spirit, is there anything I missed? Speak to me today. Whisper. Don't just read it. Dig into it. Get in it and around it. And one of my favorite books, Bibles, that is this particular version on the screen, the Word in Life Bible. It's a study Bible. There's enough resources out there today that you don't have to struggle through trying to understand the Bible. This is one that I recommend for everyone. It's very simple to understand, common English version. And there's tons of notes on each page to help you understand some of the things you're reading. If you can't find this Bible, let me know, and I'll help you get a copy of it. I think it'll be worth your time. Don't just read, study. Get into it. I think that's what Peter did. He had to understand the Bible because he made this bold statement that all the prophets of the Bible point to Jesus. You know how many prophets there were in the Old Testament that got a book named after them? 17. And all 17 prophets point to the coming Messiah. And as a matter of fact, Peter, as he thought about this, understood that this was predicted centuries before Christ came. That's another powerful thing about the Bible, is that the prophecies of Christ have come true. There are over 300 biblical prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Hey, this can stand up to intellectual scrutiny. God is behind it. God has brought it to us through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of people have given their lives because of this book. Let me tell you about one person that risked his life. His name was Anne van der Bilge. Born in the Netherlands, we know him better as Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew became famous as a Christian missionary smuggling Bibles into communist countries. In a communist country, if you were found with a Bible, you could be jailed, beaten, or executed. Or all three. Brother Andrew, before he pulled up to the checkpoints, the check stops, he would pray this prayer. God, make the seeing eye blind. Don't let them see my Bibles. And time again, he was able to cross those checkpoints and bring the Word of God to people who were dying, a spiritual thirst, dying to have the Word in their language. But it wasn't always so rosy for Brother Andrew. He was in the Indonesian War and hospitalized because of being wounded in 1946 and bitter because of the things that he saw. Most soldiers will never talk about the war, those who were in combat. He was one such person. Matter of fact, somebody delivered a Bible to his bedside, but he looked at that Bible with contempt. Until he noticed the nurses and their demeanor. They were always smiling. They were always full of joy. Their cheerfulness absolutely touched his heart. And he finally said, "What in the world is it that makes you all so cheerful?" And a nurse replied, "Surely, Andrew, you're teasing me." And she went over to his bedside and began to tap the Bible. "Well, here's the reason. Right here by your bed. It's my relationship with Christ, and it's his word that has given me my smile." That began to melt the bitterness and the anger and the hurt of the soldier's life. And it turned him around to the point that he began to risk his own life to take Bibles to people who didn't have them. That's what God does in a life. And by the way, nurses, you're the first and front line of healthcare in America. And you're countenance makes every bit of difference. And some of you have nurse-like gifts. You maybe weren't professional nurses, but you have a way of setting people at ease and helping them to feel better. This morning as I was lumbering to church, freezing to death, I felt like a snowman. Anybody feel like a snowman today? I mean, I even have the icicles, I think, coming off my ears as I'm walking over. And Kim Wheeler gives me a hello, and he's the first person that I see, and a smile on his face. And as I come in the door, more smiles. And even though it was cold in the sanctuary, people were hugging, and many of you do the same thing before second service. It's a beautiful sight. It's just what this world needs. And there's not enough of it out there to go around. It starts right here, but it can go so much further than just these walls. Matter of fact, it must go further. For Christianity to be credible, it has to be lived out there. It will never be credible inside the walls of a building alone. So God is counting on you, brothers and sisters, to live the faith out there, to be patient in traffic, to be undemanding at the checkout counter, to be in prayer when you're waiting for the oil change to be done on the car. There are so many ways that God slows us down and causes us to pray if we perceive them. And I think that even God uses colds. I wish there was a better way. But God uses colds to make people quiet, or to help them speak at the right time, or just to appreciate those days when we do feel good, right? And think about the protection, right, folks, that God surrounds us with. The world doesn't know that by and large. We have the keys to true joy. Let's share them. Peter closes with the greatest thing about Jesus, and that is his forgiving work. Archaeologists have uncovered a cartoon. You wouldn't think that that would be a very big find, but they found it on a wall in the ruins of ancient Rome, showing how crazy the Christian message seemed to the people at that time. It's a caricature of Jesus' crucifixion, showing a man hanging on a tree with a donkey head. And below the cross was a person with his hand held up as if he were worshiping. And this is what the inscription said. And I'm going to read it the way that I think it was meant to be heard. He worships his God. Now, first of all, the fact that there's an inscription that dates back to early Roman times in this millennium, 2 millennium now, really tells me that there's further proof for the Bible being correct. Someone took the time to draw a cartoon, but they were looking at it from a negative viewpoint. They couldn't understand why some God would come and die for its creation. So they made fun. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. It defied all reason. The non-Christian says that God would never do that. But God did. In Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the cross is one of our most powerful symbols, isn't it? It's why we wear it around our necks as necklaces. It's why we have the cross on the altar. It's why many of you have crosses hanging on your walls at your house, right? There's power in the cross. Matter of fact, someone once said, at the old rugged cross, we see man at his worst, but God at his best. Trust God. Trust his son. One more little story about communist days. How many of you are old enough to remember the falling of the Berlin Wall? How many of you remember that? Now, put your hands down. How many of you don't really remember too much about that? Do you want to admit that just a little bit? Yeah. And some of us just weren't really with it or old enough to know. I have some memory of that because I was, I think, a senior or junior in high school. Before that wall fell in the eastern part of Germany, they built a TV tower. And the TV tower was used to spread propaganda about the Communist Party and atheistic values. At the top of that TV tower, they built a globe-like structure that actually housed a restaurant. And the strangest thing is that when the sun shone on that globe, it reflected the cross on the ground below. And it absolutely made the Communist Party officials as angry as can be. So what did they do? They painted the globe to try to get it from reflecting the light. And the more they painted it, the more it reflected the light of a cross. So one pastor close by said, no matter how hard they try, they can't get rid of the cross. And Paul would agree when he wrote, God forbid that we should even ever try to do that. The cross is everything to our faith. It is the very power of God. Amen, church. Matter of fact, Paul wrote to Corinth, he said this, we preach Christ crucified, which is scandalous to Jews. It's crazy. It makes no sense. It's foolishness to the non-Jew. They don't get it. Matter of fact, they laugh at us. But to those who are called, both Jew and non-Jew, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Man, I want more of that power. I want more of that Holy Spirit power to be with me wherever I go. Wherever you go, if Christ is in your heart, you take Christ with you into your workplace, into your home, into school. Even when you kick your feet up and put them on the stool, Christ is there if you believe in your heart. I love what King Solomon did when he got the throne. He went to God and said, God, I don't know the first clue about being king. I'm just a kid. I need your wisdom. God poured out his wisdom. God said about Solomon, you didn't ask for power or riches or glory. You asked for my wisdom. So I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you everything else as well. The Bible would probably admit that Solomon was indeed, actually it does. The Bible says Solomon was more wise than anybody who came before him. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Just ask. But don't doubt when you ask. Don't be like a wave on the sea that is tossed to and fro. Believe. Receive. And then conceive a Christian life. Give birth, a new birth, being born again in Jesus Christ. That's the key. That's the power. That's the cross. You can trust him. Let's pray. Lord, we believe, and Lord, help our unbelief. Come to us this new year in a more direct and powerful way than you have ever come to us before. We open our hearts, we pull down the walls that we might have built, the walls of doubt, the walls of hurt, the walls of unforgiveness, and ask that you would gleam yourself brightly into our beings and transform us from the inside out. Praise be to God, inside out, so that we are messengers of peace to our spouses and our children, to our parents, to our bosses, to our workmates, to our schoolmates, to the stranger in the store or on the sidewalk. Firmly plant your smile upon us, for you smile upon us daily through Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.